Okay, we're back. So getting all the kinks out of the technical issues, but this is the first Ask John show of the new you in the new year. We got lots and lots of questions from the comment sections, from the chat roles. People are asking lots of questions. We'll try to answer them, but you can also call in and talk to me. So if you call in on the number on the screen and you press one, you got to press one, and your hand goes up, little hand goes up on the screen. Shannon will pick up your call and she'll talk to you. She'll put you in the queue. She'll send me a text and say, Bill from Minnesota's got a question. And I bring you in and you and I can talk directly. So it's a real great opportunity, especially as we go through the 5 weeks of this new year and the new year, because all kinds of questions are going to come up about whatever sessions that we have and how they apply to your specific situation. And that's the type of questions that I'd want to take. We can take general questions too, but and certainly last class was a real general class about, you know, fat triggers in general. But as we go through the next 5 weeks, if we're talking about digestion or how to reduce stress or the best way to exercise, whatever it is, whatever the class was, the ideal way to utilize this is to watch the class, take some notes, and then talk to me on the Ask John and say, how does this apply to me? And that's how to get the most out of it. You know, before we start, I just want to share a story with you. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, a friend of mine, Michael, came over with this other guy who I wasn't familiar with. I didn't know he was a world-famous guy. His name was Stig. He's from Denmark. And we're talking, and this and that. He says he's an athlete. And then he says he's got the Guinness World Record for holding his breath underwater. And I said, really, how long can you hold your breath underwater? And apparently, he's got the Guinness World Record for holding his breath underwater for 22 minutes. This man has trained himself through breathing practices and meditation and exercise and learning how to use visualization to slow his heart rate and his pulse and all these things. He has trained himself to hold his breath for 22 minutes. I didn't think that was even possible, and this man's standing in front of me. And then last night I was out to dinner with him and a bunch of people, and another person that was there is the world champion big wave surfer in the world right now. His name is Mark Vesser. And apparently he also does this breath training where he can hold his breath for 6 minutes. And these are superhuman qualities, and I found just being in their presence to be incredibly inspirational. And I remembered something that used to inspire me when I was losing weight. There was this guy, and I talk about him in my book. His name's Ashrita Furman. And Ashrita Furman has the Guinness World Record for actually having the most Guinness World Records. He's got over 200 Guinness World Records for superhuman feats. For example, one of his records at the time, I haven't looked in years, and I did end up, I met him about 10 years ago after I lost my weight, but at the time, he had the Guinness World Record for running the fastest time running 50 miles while juggling. Okay, so there's a lot of things here. There's the fastest time of anything is amazing. There's running 50 miles, which is the most unheard of thing in the universe. And then there's while juggling. So it's not enough that he's running 50 miles and he's running it faster than anyone else in this category. He's juggling. Okay, so this is the type of things that he used to do. And he was a very serious meditator. He had an Indian guru that he trained with, and his practice was overcoming limitations of the mind through his focus and his meditation practice, which is the exact same thing that this guy Stig does. He says that you learn how to overcome the limitations of the mind when the mind's telling you to do this, and you're learning how to overcome that through his meditation practices. And I remember how incredibly inspirational Ashrita Furman was for me, because when I was 300-400 pounds, I would wake up in the morning and want to go for a bike ride for 20 minutes, and I thought, well, you know, if this man can run 50 miles and juggle at the same time and do it faster than anyone else, I can get up and I can bike for 20 minutes. And that inspired me. And I used to get on my bike, and every time I got on my bike, I would say the words Ashrita Furman. Which, by the way, literally Ashrita, because he studies with an Indian meditation teacher, guru, so he's given this name Ashrita. So Ashrita literally means protected by God. So it's like to say the word protected by God in Hindu, already there's like a protection there. So I used to get on my bike and I'd say Ashrita Furman. And I think I still do it today. It's just automatic at this point. I don't even think about it. But it's like my signal that I can do this, that I can do, that there are people that do superhuman things, and I can do things that are within the realm of normalcy and complete those tasks. And that was inspirational. And I think I'm going to do this new series of interviewing superhuman people. I mean, we could call it superhero series or something like that, just to help inspire all of us to know that we can do things. You know, like we can have that we can make that green juice, and we can get up 5 minutes earlier and do a visualization, and maybe we can, you know, get to the gym or the beach for 5 minutes during the day. We can do these superhuman things that propel us to be the greatest we can be. And I love the idea of being the greatest you can possibly be, and having within you the ability to evolve and grow. Out of all animals on this planet, we have the ability to evolve and grow, to be superhuman, to be greater than we ever imagined possible. So holding your breath for 22 minutes is greater than anyone ever imagined possible. So when I was a kid, I was told that if you don't get oxygen to your brain for 4 minutes, you die or you get brain damage. So this is clearly not true in all cases. You can evolve. You can train. I was sitting next to two people that have held their breath for longer than that, in one case, 5 times longer than that. So you can evolve, you can grow. This, you know, we think, how can I run a half a mile when there's a guy out there that's running 50 miles and juggling at the same time? We can evolve, we can grow. It's very inspirational, and I think I'm going to do a series on that. But I would encourage you to look at some of the things that people are capable of doing and find the commonality. So for me, the commonality is they have an internal practice. They've got a meditation practice, a visualization practice, a mind over matter practice, a way of focusing, concentrating, which is really what we do in our visualizations, and using it to propel yourself to greatness. So it's inspirational. I would encourage you to do that in your visualizations. Use the power of your mind to visualize the weight melting off of your body, getting a great workout, doing whatever the things are that you maybe think you can't do right now, and learning that you can do it, and then keep going with that to more and more greatness, whatever that greatness may be for you. So just a thought for the day. We have only one caller at the moment, so that's good in the sense that, because we have a lot of questions that Dan wants to get through, but also in the sense that if you also have a call and you're listening, you can come in and you can talk to me. But let's bring Robin in from Atlanta, Georgia, and have a quick chat with her.
Hi, John. I'm really excited to talk to you. My first question has to do with actually visualization, mm-hmm. that you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. I am 55 years old and about 95 pounds overweight, mm-hmm. and I have been overweight or obese for really probably 30 years. With some of your visualizations, you talk about visualizing what you want your body to look like when you've lost the weight. Mm-hmm. For me, it's been so long since I've been within the range of normal weight. I have absolutely no idea what that is.
It's okay. So that's okay. Visualization works at a lot of levels, for starters. Okay. So the first thing that visualization does is it lowers stress, which means that if it's lowering stress, it's changing your biochemistry so that you will lose weight, even if you don't know exactly what your ideal weight is, and even if you're not visualizing or having a clear vision of exactly what your ideal weight is, it accesses brainwave states and neural connections and creating neural networks in your brain, so that throughout the day you're going to have less stress too. So all of these things are going to help you lose weight. It helps you create positive habits. So imagining yourself going to the gym or having a green juice or preparing a salad or walking past the bakery and having no interest, whatever the thing is, it helps you create those habits, and those habits will help you lose weight. So in these different ways, visualization is going to help you, even if you don't know what your exact ideal weight is or body shape should look like. That's totally fine. If you just imagine, as you're sitting there, the weight melting off of your body. So like, you know, if I'm sitting here, I'm imagining there's some weight on my body and my stomach, it's melting off, and I'm just sitting here and I can feel like it's just pure fitness in my body and no extra weight. You can imagine that without imagining exactly what your body is shaped like. It doesn't really matter. One other way that you can do this, though, creating an ideal body and visualizing it, is to find a picture of someone that looks the way you would like to look, And this is the way you use that. So before you start your visualization, you look at the picture. And I sort of have a technique for letting it soak into your subconscious. So what you do is you look past it. So here's the picture, right? I'm not looking at the picture, this person wearing a bathing suit, whatever. The picture's here, but I'm sort of, my eyes fixed back there. So you can almost see, like, you can see how my eyes are sort of looking past it. And as it's looking past it, it's going through my conscious discrimination. So if I'm looking right at it, there's these thoughts. So I'll look at the stomach, or look at the legs. You can't be like that. You can be like that. There's all these thoughts. If I'm not even looking at it, I'm looking past it. It's soaking past the conscious. You can almost see it soaking past into the subconscious. So just do that for 10 seconds to 30 seconds. Then close your eyes and imagine yourself looking like that. And for a second or two, you can get that. And that's really, really beneficial. And to me, it's a bonus. It's like the icing on the cake. It's not the only thing that you have to do in order to be successful to visualizing. If you sit and you do nothing, you will get into a hormonal state, which is conducive to weight loss. So at every level it works. The key is just to practice it. And then also realize that the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then you get to a place where you become extremely powerful at visualizing what you want, not just in weight loss, but every area of life.
All right, great. Thanks. That's extremely helpful.
Excellent.
I do have one other question that's a little more general in nature, if that's okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It has to do with probiotics. And I know there are a lot of different kinds of probiotics.
Yeah.
Some of them are refrigerated. Some of them are not. Can you comment on, is refrigerated or unrefrigerated one better than the other, or are there some specific kinds of probiotics that you recommend?
I think it's more the manufacturer and the brand and what's in it than whether they're refrigerated or not, because some brands have a technique for preserving the bacteria even though it's not refrigerated. I like the Garden of Life when it comes to digestion. This guy Jordan Rubin healed himself of a really bad digestive issue where he was emaciated and he had total inability to absorb nutrients completely. He looked like an absolute skeleton. And he developed a whole range of formulas for digestion, and they helped him get to a normal weight, and they've helped lots of people lose weight too, because when you have digestive issues, it can be the exact opposite. It can go one way or the other. And so he's got one called Primal Defense that's really good. It needs to be refrigerated once it's opened, but it doesn't need to be refrigerated until then. We have a blend that I like a lot. We make it in small batches, and it's got 10 different ranges of friendly bacteria. That needs to be refrigerated once it's open, but it doesn't have to be refrigerated until then. But you want a probiotic that has lots of different friendly bacteria. So some of them just have Lactobacillus acidophilus or Bifida or this or that. There's just, and ideally you want something that's got digestive microbes too, because it's not just the isolated bacteria. Maybe it's been fermented in a healthy soil culture and they're using the whole product of the fermented item that it, in the capsule, and so you're getting the digestive microbes too, and they're really essential. And there's too many to even keep track of. So you want something that's got full range of bacteria and microbes, so many that they don't even know what it is. That's the best type of brand, rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to have this capsule that's nothing but Lactobacillus acidophilus. We've got 500 trillion bacteria in our body and countless millions of varieties. So one is good, but you want as many as possible. And the other way to get is through fermented foods in general, because through the fermenting process, there's so many bacteria that are created, you don't have to keep track of, am I getting this one or that one? You're just getting bacteria that are really healthy and complementary to your system.
Okay, all makes a lot of sense.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We have one other caller, yeah? Tricia from Seattle.
Hi, John, can you hear me?
Hi, Tricia.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I have a question about actually tying into this question about digestive enzymes. I had seen a naturopath a few years ago, and he had recommended a whole slew of digestive things because he felt like a lot of my weight problems did stem from digestion, and that sounded like he was on target there for something. But my problem is that because of my sensitive digestive system, I had trouble actually taking all of these supplements he recommended. And so what I would find is he'd have me taking three of this with every meal and two of these, before bed, and four of these in the morning, and I ended up not being able to stomach them. And so I'm wondering if, is there a way to get around that, to still get the enzymes and the things you need to help you digest when your stomach doesn't even want to take those?
This is a great question, and it's a question that actually applies to most people. And what the answer is that when you have digestive issues and you start taking friendly bacteria, especially not so much the digestive enzymes, but the probiotics, the friendly bacteria, almost always you're going to get digestive issues, because the digestive issues stem from the fact that the friendly bacteria are at war with the unfriendly bacteria. So there's literally a turf war going on in your intestines, and it's almost like if you're the friendly bacteria, you're showing up in Harlem there, where there's gangs everywhere, and they're not going to like you. And so there's a war that goes on, Unfortunately, the way to get through that is to keep supplying more and more of the friendly bacteria and starving off the unfriendly bacteria to tip the scales in the war. And that's the reality. And so 9 times out of 10, when you've got digestive issues, and in fact, the more severe your digestive issues, the more of a reaction you'll have from taking the friendly bacteria. And people don't really explain this. So what happens is you have this adverse reaction. You think, oh, it's not working for me, it's bad for me. But in reality, that's to be expected because of this kind of turf war thing that's going on. So what I would encourage you to do is start slowly, but stay consistently upping the doses to the, within the range of where you're comfortable. Continue to work with your naturopath or doctor or whoever, and certainly don't do anything that I'm recommending that's against what they recommend. But if you're asking my layman's opinion, I would advise you to continue to slowly up the dose until you get to the point where it doesn't bother you at all. So like right now, I can take a whole handful of probiotics. It's not going to bother me. Whereas there was a time when I'd have one and I'd have this whole war going on. It's actually part of the healing process for a lot of people.
No, that's good. I actually stopped seeing them because I figured that whatever they were offering me wasn't clearly working for me.
But it's
so
not,
I
it's the exact
that,
opposite.
That path.
It's the exact opposite. You have to tip the scales in their favor, basically.
Okay. Well, right now I can stomach a probiotic, but good. I never was able to keep taking the enzymes. It just got terrible stomach pain and stuff. So I will see if I can start slower.
Let me stop you though. You took the digestive enzymes with meals?
Yeah. Well, I was taking a variety of them all day. He had me on a bunch of different supplements.
Try one full spectrum digestive enzymes with meals, just one with meal, and only with meals. Just try that for now and see how that works.
Okay. And I just picked up some more probiotics, so okay. Full spectrum, so we'll see if those are okay too.
Okay.
My second question actually has to do with visualization. I'm in the middle of your book, and I was reading about sort of that the visualization of the, picturing the light going around your vertebrae.
Yeah.
And one of the most interesting things that I noticed is that I'm able to visualize my body in my head, but not actually inside my actual body. It's almost like a separate connection.
No,
like I can picture the light spinning around vertebrae, but not mine.
Yeah, I understand.
And I'm wondering if that's like a real significant sign of some emotional issue there, or is
you
that
mean,
just normal for
yeah, someone
no, who's not
like,
used
you
to
mean
doing.
Like a disassociation? I don't think it is. I don't think it is a disassociation, and I understand what you're saying because I have experienced both types of visualization. So, for example, I could visualize myself. I could see myself walking on the beach in my ideal shape, right? Where it's not me, mm-hmm. I'm not in my body, that's not happening in my body, but I'm visualizing it happening outside of me. I can see that, and that I found is to be a very effective visualization. And I can also imagine that I'm walking on the beach and being in that body, and that's an effective visualization. I can imagine seeing myself in my ideal shape out here, and that's effective, and I also can imagine being in my ideal body as I'm sitting here and being in shape, they're both really effective. And the same is true for the visualization of spinning this, the white light up the spine, or any of these things. They're just at the different ways of conceptualizing them. They both work really, really well. And you'll find it'll kind of go flip back and forth as you get more advanced in working with that mind-body connection. You'll find that you'll experience both of those.
Okay, yeah, because I've been, like, I even just, like, the sort of the happy light from the center of your solar plexus sort of out to your fingertips kind of feeling, and I can, like you said, I can visualize it in my head, but when I try and actually internalize that light into my body sitting here right now, it almost like it bounces out,
yeah,
and
so
in back into my head.
So it's possible that there are some blockages that are keeping your consciousness from entering your body. So like, if I think about my body, what I'm doing is I'm entering my consciousness to all the different parts of my body. If there's parts where I can't get to, there could be blockages that might be from emotional trauma or from other things. We get these, according to Eastern medicine, we have these energy channels that we can run our mind through and run our energy through, and they get blocked. So there could be some blockages there. But this process that you're working through is by cleaning your body, healing your digestion, and doing the visualizations is the best way to unblock those. So you will get to a place where you can imagine that. I had a meditation teacher about 6 or 7 years ago that told me that in order to increase my vitality, it was Robert Peng, who's the Qigong master that we've interviewed a few times in our support group, who's an amazing, amazing man. But he said, in order to increase my vitality, I had to focus on the area just below the navel, which in Chinese medicine they call the Dan Tien, but that's the seat of vitality. So they believe that we've got these energy channels just below your navel is the Dan Tien, and in your heart area you've got one that's more geared toward your emotional health, and then in your third eye is more geared to your mental health. So he said that I had to imagine white light in my navel, and it took me years before I could bring my awareness to that. It's exactly what you're saying, is there was this, you know, I could imagine the idea in my head, but being there, feeling that I was, my mm-hmm. focus was really below my navel and the energy was really there, took me years. And it was a great practice because I have a lot more vitality now than I used to. But I had to open those channels using my mind to direct the energy, and that's probably what's happening with you. And that's fine, mm-hmm. because this process is the process of getting there. You will get to the place where you can be inside your body and be able to imagine all these things, and it'll happen. So this is all still, you know, it's part of the healing, growing process, so it's totally fine. But that's where you are right now, and that's really what's being communicated to you, that there are some blockages that you're working through.
Super, thank you.
Sure. Okay, do we have any other callers, Aaron?
Yeah, Tracy from Cleveland.
Okay, thanks, yeah. So, Tracy from Cleveland.
Hi, John.
Hi, Tracy.
I need to send you an email regarding a story from last year that happened to me, in which I'm really thankful to you and everything I've learned from you, but I'll email it to you because it's kind of a long story, but I really feel like I'm still here today because of things I've learned from you over the last couple of years. I was in the middle of a coaching program last summer, and I had a bad medical experience, but I'll explain that to you later, but I just wanted to thank you for what I've learned from you. But I'm stuck too. I know visualization is such an important part of everything. You always say that, and I'm pretty much starting out where you started out, at that kind of weight, that kind of size. And I have a very hard time. I don't want to repeat what the previous caller just said, but I really have such a rough time visualizing myself at any ideal kind of weight or.
I'm going to give you, I'll give you. Tracy, and by the way, thank you for, you know, your nice words. I'm really happy that you got the benefits that you did, but I'm going to give you the same answer that I gave the first caller, and that is it's totally cool because at every level you're getting benefit. Even if you just sat and played the visualization and let your mind wander about what movie you're going to see tomorrow night, you're getting benefit because the background music is going to put you in the alpha and the theta state. Your cortisol levels are going to go down. Your inflammation is going to go down. You're going to be less hungry. Your body, your cells are going to become more sensitive to insulin and leptin, so that you'll be more efficient at burning fat. It's all going to happen. It's just a question of consistency. You know, I tell this story a lot because I think it's really effective. But Woody Allen has this quote, you know, 99% of success is just showing up in life. And nowhere is that more true than visualization, just showing up. So you don't have to overthink it. You don't have to overanalyze it. You will get to that place. There are issues that are stopping you right now from seeing that, from feeling that. But this is the process of getting to that place. So it's not to be concerned at all. Okay. Tracy, we just lost you. We will pick you back up if you call back. Okay. But basically the same advice I gave to the first caller is that you do not have to worry. Visualization works at so many different levels. I'm going to take another caller, and then Tracy, if you call back, I can take you if you want. But let's talk to Jeanette in California. Janet, actually. Sorry.
Hi, John. Are you there?
Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So my question is about low-grade chronic stress.
Yeah.
And I have lots of them.
Yeah.
And kind of wondering where to start. You know, I'm a single mom. I have three kids. I'm a business owner. I've had a past history of severe adrenal fatigue, like late stage two. You know, I stopped making certain hormones. I had a leaky gut. I had a very naturally low probiotic count. I had a lot of blood work and testing and stool samples done to kind of figure out what's going on with me because I just didn't feel good.
I got the whole picture. I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah, and and on top of that, I mean, I'm a fitness professional. So I am constantly.
By the way, I just want to stop you. I want to stop you. That is so common right now. It's coming from. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that are fitness professionals that have experienced adrenal fatigue. There's something about the combination of really really driving yourself through exercise and low calorie diet. That combination, more than anything else I've ever seen, causes adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And then once you have adrenal fatigue, you end up getting leaky gut and you know, dysbiosis, you know, bad bacteria in your stomach, because your liver loses the ability to detoxify. And so everything starts growing bad in your intestines because you can't produce glutathione. You start gaining weight because you become estrogen dominant because you can't produce progesterone because of the adrenal fatigue. It's like this whole thing starts escalating, and I'm at this point, I'm seeing it so much, I really, really understand it. But and undoing it is a process. It's not an overnight thing, but that extreme thing, the fitness thing, is for women ages 30 to 43. That's the range that I've seen. It's the trigger is extreme fitness, you know, extreme pushing in mm-hmm. that regard. So just an FYI, it just sounds
right.
Like you're very much fitting into that category. That seems to push you over the edge, more so than all the other things you mentioned are humongous stresses on their own, being a mother, having your own business, you know, all these things. They're not the ones that really cause the adrenal fatigue the most. The one that does is the people that exercise an hour or two a day and are on a 1,000-calorie diet, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing. The body just says,
I don't really
you know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily restrict my calories. I try to eat when I'm hungry, and I'm typically not hungry early because I'm in motion. I'm moving, I'm teaching, I'm doing that kind of stuff. I do take most of my calories in at night, and I don't really restrict them, but I do train a lot, and it also is part of what I've been able to use, obviously, for weight management, and despite all that, obviously, it's not working anymore.
Well, all right, it's not going to right now because it's causing the problem now. Do you understand? So the best thing you could do is cut your exercise by 90%. So or do 10% of what you're doing right now. I know it sounds crazy, but
it does sound crazy.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm working with lots of people that have adrenal fatigue, and you got to unwind this situation and doing more exercise. The exercise is what caused the problem, the over-exercising. So your body's not going to repair itself until you stop exercising, unfortunately. There will be a process, an unwinding process in all this, but if you could do the types of things the types of exercise that will work for you, though, is three times a week, if you did 10 minutes of super intense exercise 3 times a week, and or 2 to 3 times a week, and just 10 minutes, 20 minutes isn't better than 10 minutes. It isn't. It's worse. Mm-hmm. And 4 times a week isn't better than 2 times a week. It's worse. You got to test your body and feel your body. That may be too much for you right now at all. If I were working with you step by step, and I knew you were going to do whatever I said, and I knew you were going to be patient with me to get through the other side and to heal you, to get to the point where your body can naturally burn fat in the right way, I would have you off all exercise and have you getting massage therapy, massages every day, and spas and these type of things, and meditations and relaxation, and lots of green juices and things like that. But this is the direction that I would go with you. And I wouldn't have you do a stitch of it. The only exercises I would have you do are stretches when somebody's actually there stretching with you, you know, pushing on your back. They're actually doing the work. I would want you to do nothing for months. And that's,
wow.
And that's what I would do, you know, and I know already, because I know I'm familiar with the mentality that takes you to that, you know, in your mind you're thinking, you know, well, that's great, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying you are, but a lot of people I've worked with in your situation are thinking that's great, but I'm not going to do that, and I am going to exercise like crazy because that's how I maintain myself. But right now that's caused a problem. If you look at the way the adrenals work and the way cortisol works, if cortisol levels are too high, it's a problem. If they're too low, it's a problem. There's a certain range that's perfect. If you have adrenal fatigue, yours are too low and it's a problem. So what worked for you when they were too high or in the normal range is not going to work when it's too low. Because right now your body has just lost the ability to produce so many reparative hormones that you need to burn fat and to rest and rejuvenate and repair yourself. So all I would focus on is getting your body to regain the ability to repair itself. That's what I would do for months. And I would want you to do no exercise, and I know that's not going to happen, so I almost don't even want to say it. But that's what I would want for you, and just really focus on having lots of super super healthy nutrients, massages, meditations, spas, saunas, just everything anti-inflammatory.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Could that also lead to really erratic blood sugar regulation and insulin production?
Yes. Yes,
I've been testing my blood sugar, over the place.
The answer is yes. Okay, and it's because the adrenal fatigue causes estrogen dominance, which causes insulin resistance. The insulin resistance causes the blood sugar problem. So it's not like a maybe hypothetical. The answer is yes. This is what you have.
Okay.
This is your situation. And I can tell you, if you were living right here in Noosa, and you and I were working, you know, I could take you by hand. I could lead you out of this, but it's not an overnight fix, and the fix is not what you think it is. I mean, I would have you doing nothing but massages and get super healthy green juices and things that detoxify your liver and heal your leaky gut. You know, this is where I would be focusing. I wouldn't want you to do. I would want somebody carrying your groceries home for the next 3 months. Like I wouldn't even want you doing that. Like that's. That's the type of the direction that I would want to go with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that's take from it what you will, but at the very least, do things that will heal your digestion, reduce inflammation, detoxify your liver, do things that are anti-inflammatory like saunas, massages, meditations, turmeric, and other anti-inflammatory foods and juices. And I would encourage you to back your exercise off to maybe 1 to 2 times a week for 10 minutes, something like that. I know that's not going to happen, but take what you will of it.
Yeah, well, I've got to make some changes. So if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to make it very long.
That's correct. And
you know, I'm just too tired.
These are the changes you need to do. I would take 3 months off from exercising is really what I would like. If you just came to me and you said, just tell me what to do, I'd say take 3 months off from exercising. During those exercise sessions during the time that you would otherwise get to exercise, get a massage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or do a meditation,
okay.
Or take a meditation class, or have someone, or do some stretching, but not a stretching that's exertion, actually have someone doing the stretching for you, so they're pushing on your back. I don't want you to exert anything, I want you to repair. That's what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
paradigm shift for me.
Huge. But you know what? You're not alone. I mean, I am getting bombarded right now with women. How old are you?
I just turned 47.
Okay. So the typical thing where I'm seeing this is from 30 to 43. That's where it usually starts. So maybe, you know, that's the range that I've been seeing. And I'm just getting bombarded with it. And I've been talking a lot to experts. You know, Dr. Sarah Gottfried, really good. Dr. Alan Christensen, he just wrote a book called The Adrenal Fatigue Diet. Dr. Sarah Gottfried just wrote a book, The Adrenal or Hormonal Reset Diet. They're both onto it. But the most important parts are the meditations and the massages. People don't focus on these type of things, but you need those. You need to get into these deep relaxation states. You need to get to that state where you're lying there and you don't know your name. You know, you're just for a while. There's some music in the background. There's some oil on you. There's some scented candles, and you just don't even know your name. You need to get into that state to get the body to regain the ability to repair itself.
All right. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to have to start making some little lifestyle changes here.
All right, well, let's keep in touch. Let me know how you go, okay?
I will. Thank you very much. Sure. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, so Tracy's back. Is that right? Yeah. Tracy's back. So let's take Tracy. Tracy, you there?
Hi, sorry about that.
You hung up on me.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Very nice, but that's okay. I forgive you. So I was just saying that the exact same thing I said to the first person about the visualization, at every level it's going to work for you. Don't worry, don't get stuck on this one thing right now. You can look at a picture if you want, that can help, but looking at the picture and seeing yourself is not the be-all and end-all of visualization. It's like a buffet, and that's one of the dishes, basically.
Okay. I don't know what I know how your story started and everything, but it's just I can't even mentally I know what you're saying and I know that everything is right and I know that it's going to happen, but there's some kind of big blockage or something there.
That's very
that
common.
I can't believe that I'm ever not going to be like this and that I'm ever not going to have like pain when I walk and
Don't get caught on that, okay? Get caught, just stay focused on the process. Make sure you're listening to an evening visualization. Make sure you listen to a morning visualization. Make sure you're having, you know, green juices and super greens and probiotics and salads and anti-inflammatory foods. Fill your body with lots of love and light. Get checked for sleep apnea. Make sure you don't have that. And just stay focused on the day-to-day process of healing your body, okay?
Okay.
Awesome.
And I hope to see you this summer.
Yep. Cool.
So I'm going to send you, my email is going to say Tracy's Miracle. I really want you to read it.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll stick the subject line. Thanks.
All right. Excellent. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. We have about 20 minutes left. So should we bring Dan in right now? And let's bring Dan in and see if we can cover some of the questions that have been asked over the last couple of days.
Hi, John. I'm here.
Hi,
can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Hi. Yeah, lots and lots of questions. Yeah. Hey, Tina says, do you take the digestive enzymes with every meal, every time you eat something? And then Sharon also says, how long do we take digestive enzymes forever? Does it mean forever?
Yes. Yeah, so I do not take digestive enzymes whenever I eat, because I don't like to take pills with me wherever I go. I don't like that type of thing. I don't do that. But I periodically have digestive enzymes in my fridge, and if I'm having a salad or something, whatever I'm making in the kitchen, I'll take a digestive enzyme. That's the way I like to do it. And I personally would take digestive enzymes forever. I think that they can always help you, always assist you. But you do what you can do. You don't be where you carry these little pills with you wherever you do. Don't do that. Just keep them in your fridge. Digestive enzymes will always assist your body. It's just that simple. It's things that your body produces, but your immune system also uses it, and our immune system is totally overworked. It should be in our food, and it's not. We need these, and you just take one when you think of it with meals. That's the way I would do it.
Okay. Florence asks, after drinking green juice made with kale, celery, two apples, some ginger and turmeric and lemon, I have strong cravings for sweet things and carbs. Happens always about 20 minutes after the green drink. Yeah. I'm confused.
I'm not confused. It's the apple. Okay, I've said many, many times with juices, you can eat all the apples you want, you can eat all the carrots, beets, fruits, but you can't, if you can't juice either carrot, apple, or fruits, you can't juice them. If you juice them, it ends up in your bloodstream too quickly, and then you get a blood sugar swing, and that causes sugar cravings. So don't put, when you have juices, they just have to be green. I wouldn't put kale in every single juice, by the way, because the goitrogens is a little bit, can be problematic. But the type of juice I have is celery, cucumber, lemon, ginger, turmeric, mint, parsley. These are the types of things I put, cilantro, basil, like things like herbs. But a juice should not have any sweet in it. Smoothies can have sweet in it, but not juices. Juices should have no sweet in it. But that also being said, what I would have with your juices is a little bit of protein also. So if you have juices and then have, you know, like a salad with some animal protein, snack like that, you also won't have sugar cravings. But if you have just sugar without the protein, which is in the juice that goes right into your bloodstream, you'll have that exact experience. Yeah, very good question too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jill then asks, would it be possible for you to talk more about green juice and super greens? If we don't have a juicer, what would you recommend?
So I don't personally juice my own juice anymore. So everywhere I go, there's every food court, at least where I am, and if you're in the States, you know, Whole Foods or wherever you shop, they have juice bars. So wherever I go, whenever I see a juice bar, I ask for some combination of, they have celery, lemon, ginger, do they have turmeric, they have cucumber, they have basil, mint, and I'll just juice those things whenever. Occasionally I'll make a juice, like I'll make like a gallon of it, or a couple of quarts of it, and keep it in my fridge and drink it for a couple of days. I also have a place nearby where I actually call and I say, can I have 10 juices? And they know what my juice is. And I drink those over a 2 to 3 day period. So those are some of the ways that I juice. Super greens are really easy. You don't need a juicer. You just put some powder and you mix it up with some water. And I do that a lot. The other thing I do is I'll put a blender full of water and a bunch of scoops of super greens. And I'll blend it, I'll keep it in my fridge, and I'll drink that throughout the day. So those are the ways that I do it.
Okay, thanks, John. Cynthia asks, what did you do when you became discouraged? Just glancing in the mirror can make me feel discouraged.
Yeah, so the best thing to do, the way to answer your question is what I did was inadvertent. So I did something that was really, really effective, but I didn't know I was doing it, and I didn't do it on purpose. And what I did was I forgot about weight loss altogether, and I just wanted to heal myself. And by doing that, you know, live a simple life, a low-stress life, learn how to meditate, visualize, heal my digestion, nourish my body, that was my focus. And by doing that, the weight came off without me trying, until I got to a point where I said, oh, you know, people are going, what the hell happened to you? You know, what's going on? You've lost so much weight. Then I started to try. But for the first 100+ pounds, it wasn't about weight loss for me. And that was very inadvertent. And so I never got discouraged because I wasn't trying to lose weight. So it's very paradoxical. But the best way to avoid that discouragement is to stop having a goal that's a weight goal and have a goal of healing your body. If you heal your body of inflammation, if you heal your digestion of leaky gut, if you cleanse your liver, if you heal your mind so that you're not having stress or emotional issues, if you heal, the weight will come off. So keep the focus on healing and all the different ways we talk about that rather than the end goal of the weight, and then you won't have that problem. Okay,
thanks. Hey. Christine has a visualization question. Right. Oh, yes, I think we've got Devin on hold.
Yeah, we have Devin on hold, but I'll take Devin in 1 second. I just want to say, let me answer your one question to Christine about visualization, and then we'll take Devin, okay?
Okay, it's actually a really interesting one. I've read that visualization only works if you visualize the actions and take the actions needed to achieve a goal. Simply visualizing your ideal body or becoming financially successful will not work without action. Secondly, you must visualize in the first person. What is your experience with this?
Yeah, so you're saying that because of a study that was done over recently where they did, they had two different groups, one for math students, where one group visualized getting good grades and the other visualized the process of studying. And the people that visualized the process of studying did better. But it's one study, it's a very small study, and there just isn't enough studies about visualization. That being said, if you listen to the visualizations that I do and that I lead you through, I do all scenarios. So you visualize your ideal body, but you also visualize waking up in the morning and having a green juice or working out or having a great meeting or being, and then you visualize being financially successful, maybe whatever the end goal is in that regard, but you also visualize all the things that are happening along the way. So I do it from all angles. I do it from, you can see yourself outside of your body, you can see yourself inside of your body, you can see the process, you can see the end result. There's no harm in doing it that way. We just don't know. It's like with probiotics. So should you have them with food or without? There's a bunch of schools and nobody knows. With visualization, they're, you know, I know this because I just wrote a book on visualization, and it's really hard to find any studies on visualization. You know, there's just not that many. Nobody's doing it, you know. Drug company's not going to pay for visualization, and they pay for a lot of the medical studies, so that's not happening. There's not much funding of it, and there's not much practical application, so there's not too much out there. But I say do it from all angles, and you can't go wrong. And it's easy to do it from all angles because it takes a second or two to visualize your ideal body. It takes a second or two to visualize the process of being healthy. And all of these things can happen very, very quickly. So do it from all angles, and you're covering all your bases. A really good question. All right, so Dan, thanks very much. I will bring Devin in from Michigan, and I'll try to bring you back if I can, if we have some time.
Hi, this is Devin.
Hi, Devin.
Hi, my question is about, I live in the very northern tip of northern Michigan, and it's very cold here, and I work nights. And so what I'm worried about is getting enough sleep and sunlight, and because I'm doing everything else, except for I haven't incorporated enough exercise in yet, but I will put that into the visualization, but... what about the nights and the temperature?
Oh, well, how much sleep? Are you getting enough sleep or not? So that's the first question I have. So, because that has to be dealt with, and we have to figure out a solution. So are you, how long have you been doing this whole routine that you're in?
There was somebody with heart problems at work, and I went from part-time on call to full-time nights, 60 hours a week. So this is new. I've been doing it for 3 weeks.
Wow. And how's that working for you? How's that feeling from a sleep perspective? How are you feeling? How's your energy level?
Well, I was taking 5-hour energies until yesterday or the day before when I heard your class about caffeine. And then I started taking the green juice and the protein shakes because the first 2 weeks I was very, very tired.
And how about now? I mean, is your body adapting?
Now I'm used to it.
So are you,
now I'm used to it.
Okay. And as far as the sunlight, listen, if you're working nights, it's kind of a good thing, which means you can get out there in the day. And I would get out and try to expose some of your skin to sun, even though it's cold, you know, whether it's your arms or your face, for 10 minutes. I would try to expose yourself to sunlight when you can. As far as, do you know if you have sleep apnea? How much weight are you looking to lose, and have you been tested for sleep apnea?
I am 250, and I should be 130, 140, and I haven't done the sleep study. I don't really know where to go or how to do that. I live in a really small community. Like, I just have a regular family clinic doctor.
Well, talk to him, okay?
Okay.
Do you know if you snore?
I actually do.
Yeah. You have got, let's start, this is the first thing to do, is let's get the sleep apnea taken care of, okay? That's going to help tremendously.
Okay.
Okay? So do get out during the day when you can and expose yourself to sun when you can. Just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes where you're sitting in the sun with your arms exposed or some of your upper chest exposed or in your face, in your head. Try to expose yourself to sunlight when you can a little bit.
Okay.
It will help. And you know, what's interesting about that winter sun is it's actually a very powerful sun as far as the rays that help produce vitamin D. Even though it's not hot, it can be an effective sun. So expose yourself to sunlight.
Okay, so you can be bundled up?
What's that?
Can you do it while you're bundled up? Because it's like it's been below zero a lot.
It's tough. Try to expose some part of your body to sun, your face and your head.
Okay.
And your hands, if you carry your arms, just for 5 or 10 minutes when the sun's really out, you know.
Okay, that's possible.
Yeah, and get a sleep study as soon as possible. Okay, and let's talk again after that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Okay, so let's bring Den back in, see if we can answer a few more questions.
Hi, John, I'm here.
Hi, Den.
Hi. Thomas asks, it's kind of embarrassing, and I mentioned first that I'm going in next week for a sleep apnea study, but is it bad that I fall asleep whenever I try to use the visualizations? I tried to use hypnosis CDs before as well, and it's the same experience.
No, you obviously have sleep problems, and that's fine. It's actually really good. I'm happy. Because I want you to sleep. You know, if you fall asleep while you're doing the visualization, you're still going to get, your subconscious is going to soak up the positive suggestions. So I'm happy for you to fall asleep, but you do need to get your sleep study because that's going to be tremendously beneficial for you. Okay?
Okay, thanks. Christine asks an interesting question about cortisol. How do you know if you have too much cortisol or too little because of adrenal stress? I know meditation can help with stress to reduce cortisol, but what do you do for too little?
Meditation helps with that too because it repairs your body. If you have too little, it means that your adrenals have given out, and meditation helps repair your adrenals. So either way, meditation is going to help. You can check with a naturopath and get tested for adrenal fatigue or your cortisol levels, but either way, meditation is one of the best things you can do to balance your adrenals.
Okay. Patricia asks, are we trying to cut gluten out almost entirely, for example, in pasta? Is quinoa pasta acceptable? And how do you feel about bread?
Yeah, so for me personally, my body's not attracted. I have no taste for any types of breads at all or any types of grains at all. And that's an evolution. That's not, obviously, it wasn't overnight. But what happens is your body gets trained to the point where that stuff just is, your body is just no to that. And the reality is, there's nothing in it that's good for you. There's nothing in grains at all, whether they have gluten or not, that's good for you. And they do elevate your insulin levels, which is your fat-making hormone. And so you have this fat-making hormone elevated all the time, which is the worst thing you want, the worst thing in the world when you're trying to lose weight. I mean, the worst thing. But we're attracted to it because we've lost the ability to burn fat. Our body wants to hold on to weight, and it's the best way to keep weight on. But as you sort of shift toward this focus of adding more and more real foods, healing your digestion, reducing inflammation, working through emotional issues, and getting your body to want to let go of the weight, you stop becoming attracted to that. So the answer is there's nothing, absolutely nothing positive, in my opinion, about grains at all, any grain, gluten or not, when you're trying to lose weight. But if you're eating them, so don't eat them because you think, oh, this is good for me, it's got lots of energy. Don't eat it for that reason. The only reason you should be eating them is because you can't resist it, you have to eat it. And if that's the case, fine, do it. I did it for a long time while I was losing weight until I was no longer attracted to it, but I ate a huge salad with it. So quinoa pasta is probably better, it's certainly much better than regular pasta, there's no question about it. But whatever breads or whatever you're eating, have it with a big salad. Lots of greens, lots of live food, lots of or super greens or green juices, lots and lots and lots and lots of greens. Have everything on top of a big salad. And through the reducing the stress and the working through the emotional issues and adding more nutrients, you'll get to the point where your body's gonna be like, you know what, this other stuff tastes like packing, which it does to me. You know, there was a time when I had zero chance of going a day without bread. And now, you know, 10 years down the road without having any interest in it, it's like if I had a bite of a bread, it would just be like packing to me. There's no object reality to the good taste of bread. It's just that when we have hormonal problems and misbalance, our body's attracted to it. So by healing yourself, you get to the point where your body's not attracted to it. And when your body's not attracted to it, no, there's nothing that you need in the grain, in any grains or anything man-made or processed, your body does not need. You know, we humans have been around for who knows. I mean, if you're a creationist, you say 5,000 years. If you believe in evolution, then it's 4 million years. So maybe it's somewhere in between. But the reality is, we were living on islands where there was no grains, there's no bread, there's no quinoa pasta. There was just salads, fruits, nuts, seeds, animal proteins. This is what we ate. This is what our bodies need. And so eat more of the things that our bodies really know how to digest, that are real and not man-made, and you're going to get healthier and healthier.
Okay. Thanks, John. Thanks, John. I apologize for the pronunciation, but I think it's Diana. What do you think about fasting one day a week?
I think it's a huge problem if it's forced, because if it's forced, your body goes into deprivation mode, and then your body compensates. So your body knows, okay, once a week we're going to fast, which means I'm going to load up the rest of the time. And then you're going through all this effort to fast, and you're not losing any weight. And I've seen so many people lose a little bit of weight doing this until their body figures you out, and then they gain the weight back. And then they have to fast every day just to maintain the weight that they were otherwise at without fasting. Which is the worst thing in the world. You know, imagine like you're at a certain weight and you're not fasting, right? And then you fast one day a week and that's great and you start losing weight. And then all of a sudden you go back to this weight fasting one day a week and it's like you've painted yourself into a corner. You have to fast one day a week to maintain your weight. So it's a worse scenario. That being said, the idea of intermittent fasting is very, very healthy if it's coming from an organic space. An organic space means your body just doesn't want to eat that much for long periods of time. So there are days when I stop eating at 3 o'clock and I don't eat again until 10 or 11 o'clock. And that's not because I say, okay, Thursday is my intermittent fasting day, and I gut it out all night, and I drink water all night, and I visualize all night, and I fight cravings. It's not like that. It's just that my body shuts down from some days from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 10, 11. So that's, if I go from 3 to 11, I've gone 20 hours without eating in an organic place. That is, my body just wanted to shut down. And that does happen to me once or twice a week or a couple of times a month. I don't count. But you get to this organic space where your body recognizes that intermittent fasting is good for you and it starts happening on its own by focusing on health. So it's so ingrained in us that the way to do this is by forcing from the outside. And my whole approach is let's get it organic. Let's get it from the inside. Let's get health from the inside by focusing on the real issues. So start by adding lots and lots of healthy foods, healing your digestion, detoxifying your liver, reducing stress, reducing emotional issues, getting better sleep. All of these things get you to a place where intermittent fasting, which is great for you, happens from an organic place. You're just not that hungry in the afternoons or evening. You forget to eat dinner. You're busy in the morning. All of a sudden it's 10 o'clock and you go, hang on a second. I just realized that I had my snack at 2:30. I wasn't hungry for dinner. And now it's 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning. I've just gone 20 hours. I didn't have to think about it. My body just shut down and it did its intermittent fasting from an inside out organic space. That's the way you want intermittent fasting to be. And you get there over time. But if you do it through force, your body's like, I'm on to you. I got your game. You have your one day a week. I'm gonna have my 6 days a week, and we're gonna balance each other out. And that's no fun. It's still another variation of going to war with your body. So health has to come from working with your body and getting to that place where. And the people that talk about intermittent fasting will show you hormonal studies where it's beneficial, and I'll say, yeah, it's beneficial. There's no question about it, but it's only beneficial when you get to a place where your body actually wants to do it, so it's not fighting. If you fight yourself, if you study that person long enough who's fighting themselves, you'll see how it starts offsetting itself and all the benefits go away. So get to a place where your body's really healthy and wants to do that from an organic space. And give it encouragement. So if you're not hungry for dinner, don't say, well, it's dinner, I have to have dinner. Let yourself not have dinner and see what happens the next morning. And then you get to like a natural intermittent fasting. Okay, we only have time for one more question.
Thanks, Ben. John.
Let me just say one thing. We only have time for one more question. We have lots and lots of questions, I know, and we are in the members area. We'll try to answer all of them throughout the 5 weeks. It's a long process. We're going to be here the whole time, and we're going to do the best we can to answer every question there. The first week, we're always swamped. Everybody wants to know what's going on, but everything's going to be clear as we walk step by step. So let's take one more question in the meantime.
Okay, a question from Estelle. I'm vegetarian and struggling to get enough protein to lose weight. I'm FODMAP, so I can't eat soy or pulses or seeds. Is there something else I can eat which gives me enough amino acids, etc.?
Yeah, so I would. You're probably going to need a raw fermented protein supplement. So like Garden of Life's got a good raw fermented protein powder. Mix it up with, you know, like a little smoothie, have that with your meals, you know, have a glass of that with, you know, 20, 30 grams of fat, of protein or whatever with your meals. That's probably what you're going to need to do in the short term. It's a huge risk if you don't do that, because if you become a vegetarian, you don't have enough protein, you're just going to eat starches all day, and that's the worst scenario, is having starches and not enough protein, because you crave the starches more and more when really what you want is the protein. So get a good fermented, vegan, raw protein supplement and have a spoonful or two of that, mix it with something that makes it taste good, and have a shot of that while you're having your meals. Okay. All right, so that's it for now. Our next call is Wednesday in Australia, Tuesday night in the U.S., and we will talk to you then. In the meantime, we will answer as many questions as we can in the members area. Have a great week. Just follow the action steps in the step-by-step class. That's the most important part. All this information's great. All the support's great, but the action steps. Just go through those action steps. Make sure you're listening to an evening visualization and a morning visualization, and getting the probiotics and salads and juices and waters and different things in the action step. That's what's going to, at the end of this 5 weeks, if you follow the action steps, you will have habits in place that will last you forever. The information, if it's just the information after 5 weeks, you go, oh, that was great information. But that doesn't mean it's going to stick. What we want to do in this 5 weeks is give you information, but at the same time, what we want are the habits to stick. So what has to happen, the most important thing, is you focus on the action steps and make them stick. That's what the key, that's the lasting benefits that you'll get from this. So, okay, that's it for now. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll speak to you real soon. Take care.